Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Did you see he issued that statement about
So that whole thing took kind of like a weird turn yesterday where there were reports that Noah Lyles, the gist of it is he appears to be frustrated with Adidas, and the NBA and Anthony Edwards got the brunt of his frustration because they're like, they invited him, according to this report from yesterday, they invited him to an event that was centered, an Adidas event that was centered around Anthony Davis, and he was like, why are you doing this for Anthony Davis? Like, he hasn't won anything yet. Like, why aren't you doing this for me? And that was the belief that that's the crux of his issue with the NBA. And that's where that line came from. Today, he said, and part of what was written in that story was that he didn't go to the event because he was pissed off at Adidas for doing this event for Anthony Davis. What the statement that he issued today was he didn't go to the event because of prior obligations. And he's happy for Anthony Davis and Anthony Edwards, excuse me, and congratulated him on his gold medal, and did not address the fact that he was angry with Adidas for centering their attention around Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, it's just a weird dynamic that he's got going on, and like Jesse said, man, you got to stop being he comes off like a hater.
Yeah, he does.
Like, he comes off like a hater. That's not a good look. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially when you're talking about people, when you talk about NBA players, NFL players, who ain't do nothing to you. You know what I mean? Like, they ain't do nothing to you. Look to support them. Like, I understand that you know, want to double down on your thoughts about world championships and all this other stuff, but just don't be a hater. You know what I'm saying? And he says, once again, he says that story is not true, and that's not, you know, how that played out or why he didn't go down. I hope not, because if it is, man, like you say, you just come off like a hater.
But if it is, it makes a lot of sense. Because the world champion thing was kind of like, what is he talking about? Like, where is this coming from? Well, now it makes sense. He was upset. Like, he was upset specifically at an NBA player.
So they were saying that happened before those comments?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Who said that? The story?
The story did.
Okay, maybe so.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what the... I caught up with that story last night after seeing reaction to it.
Because I was trying to figure out when they would reveal Anthony Edwards' shoe, and it's probably around this time, maybe a little bit later, and he made those comments about a year ago now, huh?
I was going to say, was it the but he had already been with Adidas, hadn't he?
They said, what I thought I saw was it was a
the
party
shoe
for
event.
The shoe.
Got you. You're right. Yep, you're right.
Maybe it would have been around this time or so. And he made these comments about a year ago, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was who was the NBA champion last year? Denver?
Denver. He definitely made it after Denver.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that matches up. He said that in the summer sometime.
The weird thing is, I thought it was a quote. I guess this is the danger of like finding something after seeing it on social media as you read it like in a tone mm-hmm. and in a certain. I thought the stuff about Anthony Edwards' party. I thought that was him. Mm. I thought the quote was from him.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't.
It was
obviously,
just a story.
Obviously, it wasn't. Yeah. But yeah, that's why when Noah released the statement today, I was like, wasn't that you? Had to go back and look. And like, okay, I guess it wasn't. Let's see me.
Yeah, but it's the Olympics were great. The Olympics were so good.
NBC got some criticism.
Well, they get criticism.
Well, they got roughed up a little bit.
I feel like I've just the world has changed.
You were gone one day, sir. You were gone one day. Jimmy Fallon had a tough closing ceremony.
What happened? What did he do?
He didn't do anything, and I think that's what people were annoyed by, is he just kept going, wow. And I know that Kelly Clarkson took a lot of criticism in the opening ceremonies for kind of similar reasons, where she was like, this is so cool. I thought Kelly Clarkson came across as charming.
Uh-huh.
Jimmy Fallon just came across as annoying. With Kelly, it was like, oh, that's sweet. Like, she's excited. With Jimmy, it was like, bro, will you shut up? Like, what are you talking for? And he kept doing that. Like, he had nothing to offer.
And what was he doing? What was he? He was
with Tirico in the.
Okay. In that little.
Yeah.
The center.
Olympic Center.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was like, I don't know, calling the closing ceremonies.
Mm.
And so when it went to L.A., can't get much more California than the Red Hot Chili Peppers. It's like, that's fine. But then there's nothing wrong. And actually, I think that was Tirico's line.
Uh-huh.
Billie Eilish. Fallon goes, that's Billie Eilish. Thanks, Jimmy. That's good. Thanks, Jimmy.
So he said he was magic.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
And then she wraps up. It's like 9-time Grammy winner, Billie Eilish. Oh, Snoop. All right, Jimmy. That's cool, man.
Yeah, Let Jimmy cook, y'all.
Jimmy took a beating on social media yesterday. My man had a tough time. But it was an entertaining day. All of that would have sucked had the women not beaten France.
Oof.
I didn't think that final shot. Like, I had no concern over the final shot. Like, I saw that's a two, mm-hmm. but the way they shot it. They went, I shouldn't even say shot it, the way they directed it, they went to like officials in France's reaction. I was scared to death they called a foul.
Oh.
Because it was like, that's not a three. That's obviously not a three.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes to like France reacting and they're just kind of like, oh my God. And then they go to the officials. I'm like, wait, did the whistle blow?
Mm.
And then they finally showed the USA team celebrating and there you could see the official going, two, like I don't know what he's saying, but he just keeps putting his fingers up like it was a two.
Yeah,
and then you know, obviously it concludes, but that was a fight.
Yeah,
that was an absolute fist fight.
The physicality of the women's game was really taking center stage in these Olympics. I don't have the same concerns for the women in 28 that I do for the men. Mainly because not only is the best player probably still going to be there, I'm assuming Asia's going to be there again, but they're going to get better with Caitlin
mm-hmm.
and with Angel and, mm-hmm. and a couple of people that weren't here this time.
Yeah, physicality won't be a problem next Olympics.
No, not at all. So they, and then Sabrina's going to be around still. You know,
yeah.
Stewie's probably might be done. She might be around.
I'm going to guess Diana's done.
Well, you never know.
Well, you don't, but she's like, I'm going to go for seven. And USA Basketball would probably be like, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
They'll probably get Paige on that team as well.
Yeah. Well, you're leaving. You're leaving the one out.
Who?
Juju.
Oh, well, yeah. I was trying to think if Juju, it doesn't matter. She's like you know how they left Caitlin and
they're not leaving Juju off.
I was thinking like
they're not
would
leaving
they do
Juju
the same
off.
Thing you gotta earn.
No,
nah, you're right.
Absolutely
yeah,
not.
Juju gonna be there too.
Absolutely not. You don't leave Wemby off just to hey kid, next time, like no.
So it's gonna be in LA too. So
yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Somehow the Sparks are going to magically win that lottery watch.
Oh, man. Anybody but the Valkyries. Don't let them win.
Why do you hate the Valkyries?
Because they're our rivals.
We don't have an R. Sacramento what?
We're going to get the team. The Monarchs coming back. Well, and when that happens, the Vows are going to be our rivals. Vows.
Okay. You realize you have imaginary rivalries.
Me and Wemby and
this
Michael
is,
Jordan.
This, well, all three of you are unstable at this point.
But I don't have the same concerns with the women. I think while the game is going to get better globally, and these countries, they showed some things that, you know, we probably took for granted. You mm-hmm. know, they played some good basketball on the women's side. I still don't think they're to the point where they're challenging the USA women, which is crazy to say, even though they just got a 1-point win in the gold medal game. Yeah. But, I don't think they're in the same place. I think the women's game globally is probably about a decade behind the growth of the men's game globally. Mm. Maybe even a generation, to be honest with you. It'll get there. I think it'll definitely get there just because basketball is – That's what they always say. It's the second fastest growing or second most popular sport in the world or something like that behind soccer. And just the way it's growing, like the women's game globally will get there. But I think I feel like they're probably about a generation behind where the men's game is right now.
That generation gap is closing. If that gold medal game is any indication.
Mm-hmm. France going to be ready.
Brittany Griner. She won't be back. Mm. Obviously, Diana won't be back. Stewie's certainly a question mark. I'm not sure Chelsea will be there another cycle. Kelsey Plum will. Mm. Sabrina will. We could have a team. The women's team could be in 2028. Could be the version of the men's team we just saw.
I was just about to say. Do you think that might end up being the greatest women's team of all time?
Yeah, the one in 2028 could be. Like, if as long as Caitlin continues to grow the way that we expect, Angel, and if Juju is even a fraction of what it appears that she is, that could be the one. And Asia 4 years from now might have like three more MVPs and two or three more championships, and the conversation about the greatest player of all time could be happening with Asia Wilson. Like Asia's quickly crept into the LeBron James category. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Like she is just spectacular.
Yeah. And then after that, hopefully, because I love her and Bam, you know, be married, and then they can, you know, start little Bam and Asia's.
Well, not everyone is on the Caraway timeline. Hopefully they're married before.
Well, they're married before. I say after because, I want her to be ready for 2028. That's a lot. Like if it don't happen immediately.
Well, you don't have to have little Bam and Asia's before 2028.
Then she's going to be pregnant during 28. That's why I say it needs to happen after. Like at this point, little Bam.
So I just want to be clear: she can't get pregnant like without getting married. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm thinking about the timeline. Say she's not pregnant right now. Say she gets pregnant next year.
Just do it now. Yeah, it's 2028. She's 28 years old. Just do it now.
If she does it now, she's probably going to miss next basketball season. Well, I'm only doing that because of history. Candace missed the season. But, things
then the Aces different. Will get the number one pick, and here comes Juju.
There we go. So she'll miss that. She'll have to get herself. I want it to happen after 28.
Okay, should that. Be 32.
Little Bams and Juju. And then they can have 4 or 5.
Okay.
They're only dating, by the way.
Yeah, I mean.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. They're not even That's right. Allegedly dating.
I like that couple, though, man. I like that. Asia and Bam.
I can't. Yeah, I'm fascinated over what this team will look like. Looking at
dominant,
how good Copper was.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile, and on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
How good Nafisi was during the whole games. It's a tough task for USA basketball heading into 2028, though.
Forgot about the Boozer twins on the men's side. Maybe they're supposed to be really good.
What's Carmelo's son's name again?
Ion.
Isn't he the one?
He's a bad boy. Man. He's a bad boy. I don't know if he's Olympic out the gate bad boy like Cooper Flagg is, but he's still not even. He's like 17. He's still got to do high school.
I was going to say, yeah, he ain't there yet.
Yeah.
Every time I watch him, man, that kid is extraordinary.
He's nice.
He is
nice.
Yeah, that's real. Yeah, and the Boozer twins are good. Yeah, we've watched them a couple of times, man. They're really good. We'll come back. Man, let's bring it home, though. Well, Los Angeles, Compton, DeMar DeRozan. Mm. Man, what a performance he had yesterday. We'll get you caught up for those who don't follow the Drew League. I'm sure you saw it on social media. And then we'll talk about what all of that means for Sacramento. DeMar DeRozan, we'll do that. Plus, James Hamm at the top of the hour, still much more ahead. It's Thilo Mackesy, brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. 2:15, halfway through the show, but we got a whole other show to do after this. So you know what I got to do? Sip on my BCAAs from MapTrition.com. Use the promo code DLO1320 at checkout to get 10% off your order. These all-day BCAAs go a long way to keep me from snacking like... You know who does all day.
Hey, man. I need to get some myself, so you know what I mean? I'm not snacking so much, you know what I mean?
We got to get you some all-day BCAAs. Yeah. We got to get you some craving crushers and maybe a thermogenic to help get those daycare workouts that you got going on with the babies
around. We out there, you know, in the high chair and everything. We out there.
It was one of the great pictures of all time. Kenny lifting weights and Ryan eating, like, cut-up hot dog or something. I don't know what it was. And Reese just out there kicking it. Like, man, it's daycare. It's the iron daycare. But head over to maptrition.com. My man Greg puts all of these supplements together. He makes them. If you have questions about them, he can answer them because he formulated them. There's no, I told you I've been trying to cut down on my caffeine. There's no caffeine in this. So it goes a long way to getting me through the next several hours here of the day. Again, go to maptrition.com and use the promo code DLO1320 to get 10% off of your order.
It's a good look. It's a good look. Real quick, because I definitely want to get into the stuff that we talked about with the Kings, DeMar DeRozan, and all this other stuff. But did you see that story? It wasn't really a story. It was a sound clip of after the Netherlands won the 3-on-3 at the Olympics, the big three, Ice Cube, he put out a challenge saying, Netherlands, we challenge you to come play the big three champion for like $500,000 or something like that. And, you know, challenges out there. Ice Cube said the Netherlands accepted.
Oh.
But FIBA is trying to put a stop to it and make it not happen. And if that's true, I don't know why they would do that.
What's?
That was from Ice Cube itself. Ice Cube said Netherlands accepted the challenge. They're ready to play the game, but FIBA is trying to block it.
That's dumb.
Yeah, that'd be ridiculous. That'd be major for, I don't know what it would maybe do for FIBA or anything else like that, but that'd be dope for the big three and even that sport in general, right? Like 3-on-3 in the Olympics, you know, I think that would be a good look for them, a good platform for them, at least here in the States.
Yeah.
So hopefully they get that taken care of.
FIBA is not the most fun organization, so I guess this isn't entirely surprising. The F in FIBA does not stand for fun, so I guess this shouldn't be a surprise at all.
Yeah.
That'd be a great look, though. There'd be no question about who's the real world champion there. My goodness, there'd be no question. And there's no question that DeMar DeRozan, who, you know, people, 35 years old, Kings went and signed an aging star just out still playing ball in the middle of the summer. His team won the Drew League title yesterday after being down 25, scored 54 points, 11 rebounds, hit the game-winning free throws. They won 114 to 113, and DeMar was all over the timeline yesterday.
Man, I know it's just pro-am basketball and the Drew League. I've been to a couple of Drew League. I actually played in a Drew League game, one Drew League game. And, you know, they hoop down there. They definitely hoop down there in L.A., but it's not like this you know, Knicks 93 defense, you know what I mean, like that. So there's opportunities to score, get your shots up and everything. But 54 points, 54.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's coming off him hitting 43 or something like that a couple games ago. And it just got me excited for the season, man. I think DeMar DeRozan is about to play really well here in Sac.
What?
Really, like, well.
What do you think this looks like? Like, reading all about this last night, watching all of the different, you know, streams and clips and stuff that hit the timeline, I just started thinking, like, what? Like, we've talked about it forever, and we've talked about lineups and Malik and Herter or De'Aaron and DeMar, and we've tried to piece this all together. But really, what does it look like with DeMar DeRozan in the Sacramento Kings offense? And we'll go with, you could have whoever you want at two, but we'll have De'Aaron at one and Keegan at four and Sabonis at five.
Mm-hmm.
And I just keep thinking about, you know, you still have, if it's Herter or Monk, you still have guys with Keegan who spread the floor. And then you got two guys in De'Aaron and DeRozan who can just create.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to honor it.
Yeah.
Like, you can't. You have to play them everywhere on the floor.
Right. Now, it looks like one of the best offenses in basketball. I think a top 5 to 7 offense in the game. And when you talk about guys that can create and you're worried about whether or not the spacing will be there or whatever, we're talking about top flight elite shot creators and makers.
Yeah.
So when you have that, yeah, there could be help side everywhere. They're going to find a way to get buckets. I don't care what the spacing is looking like. They're going to find a way to get 25 points a night, 20 to 25 points a night. So I'm not concerned with that at all. So now you've got two guys that can do that. You've got one of the guys who gets to the free throw line at a top flight rate. So you're going to get those easy buckets. And then you got a couple of guys on the wings that can knock down threes, whether it's Monk and Murray or, you know, whoever. Keon Ellis, I think his shot is real. I think if he's in the game and he's playing, I think his shot is real. A lot of people are like, y'all want to, and they're not, you know, shading him or anything. They're like, mm-hmm. you know, is he really that good of a three-point shooter?
Mm-hmm.
I say absolutely. And you know why? You know why I say absolutely? Because his teammate said he is.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Before we got to even see it, they weren't surprised. I think it was De'Aaron Fox was like, yeah, y'all don't get to see it, but he gets buckets from beyond the arc. Like, that shot is official. You know what I mean? So, and he came through, and when he got playing time, it looked the same way. So I think this offense is going to be unbelievably dynamic. I think it's going to be one of the top defenses in the game, and they can potentially push to be, I said top 5 to 7. They could push to be a top 3 offense in the league. I think it's going to be that potent because they're going to be able to score in a number of different ways, and it's going to be hard to guard.
Him and De'Aaron averaging 20-plus?
I think so. I got conservative when I was asked, and I said maybe about 19 or so. But
For DeMar?
Yeah, for DeMar. I think I'll change that. I say DeMar maybe at 21 a night. 21 to 22 a night. De'Aaron at about 25. So Bonus's numbers might take – his scoring numbers might take a bit of a dip. He may be at like 17, you know.
That's fine. Yeah. It just means he's going to shoot one less time a game.
Right. So he might be at 17. Keegan, I see him being at 16, 15, 16 or so. Same for Malik. The numbers add up to a team that's going to put up 100.
You got 15 to 16 a game for Malik?
I could see Malik at the same 15 clip.
Okay.
He could it could get a little easier for him, but I'll be conservative and say at the same 15 a game.
Clip. If Mike can somehow hit like that reset button and get everybody to buy all in again, mm-hmm. like he did year one, and that's not to say, I don't want to imply that people weren't bought in last year, but there seems to be a belief that, you know, there's concern over like what happens with Kevin Huerter. Like, mm-hmm. what if Kevin's not starting? How does Kevin react to that?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I know that's tough for a professional athlete, but Kevin's got to buy into this because, in my opinion, Huerter would still be a really important component of this team.
Yeah.
And the more you're able to put Sacramento first,
mm-hmm.
like, the more likelihood there is for success with this team.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have any concern with that, and that's one of the good things, you know, about where we're at right now is you don't have that concern with De'Aaron or Domas. Right. You don't have that concern with DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, who's going to be a king for a very long time,
mm-hmm.
or Malik Monk.
Mm-hmm.
But you still need guys like Kevin Huerter, Keon Ellis, Trey Lyles to be all in. Hell, I don't even think people are concerned about Trey Lyles. Every time Trey Lyles steps on the floor, he does his job.
Mm-hmm.
He's Bill Belichick's favorite player. Like, go out there and do your job. And that's what he does. But to me, it's important, and it doesn't seem like, you know, Keon, who was a two-way player, is going to, you know, have any difficult, oh, I should be the starting two guard. Like, I don't think he's going to have a hard time, you know, buying in, putting the team first, and getting himself established in the league. I think really the only one I'm worried about is Huerter.
I agree. I feel the
same
way.
And I feel like if he bought in, like, he'd be super, super valuable to this team.
I agree. I think this team's calling card is going to be on the offensive end. Obviously, it's not going to be a juggernaut, but I think they can take it back to those Beam Team 1 trademark days where that was concerning to go up against.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, we know these guys are putting up 120. We need to make sure we're on our game. And I think the offense is going to go towards that, and it can only get even more dynamic if, like you mentioned, a guy like Kevin Huerter is bought into the situation and mentally at his maximum capacity to bring whatever level of offense he can bring to the table. Like, if you, I agree with you. All those other guys, I'm pretty confident in and pretty confident in what they'll be able to bring to the table. If Kevin Herter buys in, if he's on this roster and he buys in, and he's locked into that stuff, dynamic.
Mm.
Offense is going to be dynamic. And then when you're going to be getting quotes like KD gave him during that Beam Team 1 year.
I don't know why KD
Well,
said
you know,
that.
Metu was doing, or was it Herter? Or was it, no, it was Herter.
He brought up Metu, too.
But,
like,
but
he named the whole damn
who
roster.
Was doing, what was he doing?
He was shooting the ball.
Well, what? No, that's not what
he... I'm not repeating that line. Not because it's vulgar. It's just weird. And didn't De'Aaron repeat it? Didn't De'Aaron say that line, too? Like, I don't know if it was during a press conference or what it was. Like, what... What, like, Hooper fraternity did this phrase originate from?
Yeah,
I found it so bizarre.
That's what they're saying. That's what the streets are saying.
But that's what streets do is they shoot the ball like that, huh?
So, like, yeah, if you get that type of level of production offensively, and I think it's going to be a fun year. I watched that clip, and I think I tweeted it out, too. I was like, man. Golden 1 Center going to be on movie status all year long. Mm. We got a closer in DeMar. Mm-hmm. We got another one in De'Aaron. Mm-hmm. We got a potential closer and a guy that everybody loves in Malik Monk. I can see Keegan Murray. The Kings put out a little brief little hype video of Keegan getting shots up and working out and all this other stuff. Like I think this is going to be a hell of a year for the Kings.
Hype video and Keegan is just so funny for like those in the know. Like that is just tremendous.
Yeah.
Absolutely tremendous. We'll talk a lot more about the Sacramento Kings when James Hamm joins us in about 30 minutes at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. Well, the summer of bad vibes continue for the San Francisco 49ers. I guess they dropped their preseason opener to the Titans. I've always tried to be forthcoming with this. I don't know how to evaluate these. I don't know what to think about them. I thought the opening drive with Brandon Allen was really impressive.
Mm-hmm. Both quarterbacks played well.
Yeah, and I thought the first quarter was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was about it.
What happened? I apologize, guys. There's not enough hours in the day.
We're just happy you didn't get eaten by a bear. It's fine.
Me too. It was close. We got to the mountain lions, and I was like,
wow. Or mountain lion.
You know, it got crazy. The birds was, you know, snitching on us and everything, but it's cool.
Well, that's what you get.
But what's this that Kyle Shanahan didn't call plays? Like, did you see Kyle? I think it was post-game. He was like, yeah, it was the first time I've ever been a coach and not call plays. He's like, I didn't know what to do on the sideline.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Did they have a different offensive coordinator for the game or whatever?
Yeah, I think it was wasn't it the quarterback's coach?
Okay.
I didn't know that. I don't really love the broadcast team, so I tend to kind of not pay attention.
Yeah.
But I don't know that was mentioned during the game, and I didn't know anything about it, I think, until Nick Wagner tweeted it. I was like, oh. Oh, I've never heard of that. Like, I'd never heard of that before. Mm-hmm. But again, the first quarter looked really good.
Yeah.
Brandon Allen looked really good.
And that is a positive because there is, like you said, been bad vibes left and right, and, you know, with everything going on, holdouts, injuries, all this other stuff. But against a team that's awful too, in the Titans,
mm-hmm.
the offense was still able to click, right? Like the offense was there. You had receivers,
yeah.
You had a different quarterback.
I mean, whatever that offense is, like, sure, because it wasn't Debo and Kittle.
Right, right. But as far as, and the defenses were vanilla.
Right.
But like being able to get guys open, like Ronnie Bell was getting open,
mm-hmm.
Conley got open, and, you know, and a competent performance at quarterback was able to hit those mm-hmm, open guys, mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Jordan Mason was solid on the ground.
I like Jordan Mason a lot. Mm-hmm. I like what he brought to the table. But the thing about it is I stay pretty even keeled when it comes to these preseason games because I mentioned it last night on Sports Sunday. Or actually, it was before we started taping. But do you remember the first preseason game last year?
I don't.
You're not alone either. But it was the Raiders game. Remember right. the thoughts there? Remember how that played? Oh, and who was it? Brock was behind? Oh, Brock. Uh-oh. Looks like Brock is not healthy, and that offensive line is awful, and Jake Moody missed two field goals. What are you doing?
I remember
that. Taking this kicker in the fourth round. It was a disaster.
Mm.
And the 49ers won, like, What did they win? Like 13 of their first 16 games of the season or something like that before Christmas Day. So it goes both ways. You know what I mean? Like if the positive things that I see, yeah, that's better than seeing negative, but it doesn't necessarily correlate to regular season success. And on the other side, on the flip side, RIP, if it's looking funny in the light, that doesn't correlate to disaster in the regular season. Mm-hmm. So you just I usually watch these games. I like to see the rookies and the young guys, but I really just don't want to see anybody get hurt. That's really what it comes down to.
By the way, it's Monday and Brandon Ayuk is still nothing.
That was a great couple hours. We were all, oh yeah, like probably gonna stick around and stuff. No. We'll probably get his deal and all that. No,
yeah, it was stupid. That's what it was. That was a top 10 stupid moment in show history.
Well, the other thing about that too is like, didn't it come out that he dug his heels into the sand or whatever the case may be? He's willing to sit out games. And I think one of the reports was he representation or whatever, whoever it is, was like, Pittsburgh is willing to give me the money I'm looking for. So either give me that money or trade me. Like, there's no...
That's what he said on Instagram, wasn't it? There's two options. Pick one. Something along those lines.
Feels simple to me.
I mean, no, I'm not. I'm number one, I'm not going to give you the 32 that they're willing to give you because I ain't got it like that. Nor, and then I don't even know if I
we don't
see
know.
You see you as that type of wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
But number two, if I'm not giving you that, no, I'm not going to just trade you. No. Like, just trade me. Get these fourth rounders back.
And
just trade me. No, no. I was about to call him a name. No.
Where do you think, like, do you think it was like both of them putting that out that they were like coming back to the table to talk and stuff like that? Like,
I think
Brandon Ayuk made it sound like that was the 49ers.
Yeah, I think that was all Niners trying to massage that situation or whatever. Or maybe they felt great coming out. Maybe they genuinely felt good about coming out of the meeting and then. Hell.
Sir, you have sorely misread this situation, if that's the case.
I don't get it. Like, the Niners, you know what the number is as far as the market and all that. You're coming back. What are you coming back to the table to negotiate for if you're just not going to, like what are we doing at this point?
Yeah, and that's that all, like, falls into the what we don't know category.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is the offer? Are they aware of the market? Is their current offer at market value?
Mm-hmm.
And is Brandon Ayuk pushing for something north of 30 and potentially upwards of 32?
Well, one thing I believe, just based on reports, we don't know what's true or not, but the Niners, for the right trade package, are willing to move on from Brandon Ayuk. The reports are they agreed to everything with the Browns. They were going to get picks and Amari Cooper back.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, let's
do it. And now you
it.
Pissed off Amari Cooper in the process, by the way.
Yeah. Then you're like, cool, let's do it. You know, I don't know what the compensation was in the New England thing. Somebody said it was, what's the pass rusher's name?
Judon?
Judon was in there, and it's a couple picks. Sounds like Niners are like, cool, let's do it. Ayuk didn't want to go there. Well, if I'm the Niners, yeah, I'm willing to move on from you. Like, if you, because my price is my price, you don't like that, I'm willing to move on. The fact that you're not agreeing to any potential contract extension and all, that's on you when it comes to it, here or anywhere else. And if you want to go to Pittsburgh so bad, call those people at Pittsburgh, and we already told them what will get the deal done. And if they want you bad enough, they'll do what they need to do. If not, I'm not going to just – I do agree with them there. I'm not going to just trade you just because you want to go.
And that's where I don't that's where I don't fault the 49ers for some of this, because again, we don't know everything. We don't know where the 49ers' current offer is in terms of an extension towards Brandon Ayuk. We don't know if Brandon Ayuk is turning down a $28-29 million average annual value contract because he wants the cachet of the 32. He wants to make sure he's protected in the top three when Ja'Marr Chase signs his contract or when CeeDee Lamb signs his contract.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's the case and it's Brandon Ayuk pushing for, north of 30, That's where I don't really have a problem with the 49ers digging their heels in, because in the NFL, you don't, except for the quarterback position, obviously, in the NFL, you don't pay for what you think a player is going to be. You do that in the NBA. Mm-hmm. A lot of rookie extensions are what you think a player will be, you know, down the line. Mm-hmm. That's not like, that's not the NFL. And right now, Brandon Ayuk isn't in that category. Yeah. And that's where it becomes the scenario you just laid out right there.
Yeah. And look,
we'll send you to the Steelers, but we're not sending you to the Steelers for nothing. So if you want to sit out games, you could sit them out.
Right. And if they're so gung-ho on giving you money and they want you there, cool. They know what it takes to get you there. If they love you enough, they'll do what needs to be done. If they don't, then don't blame us. That, I guess that would be the thing. Don't blame us if they don't want to make the deal that would get you there. Like, don't get upset with us. Get upset with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you guys got it all worked out, and it could be done if they just give us the compensation that we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get upset with us. But I don't blame Brandon Ayuk for, if there's a deal out there, $30-something million, I don't blame him for trying to push to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. He's doing what he should do in that situation if that's, you know, one of the more important things to him. But he's also got to understand, like, yeah, the Niners, it would not be in their best judgment to just give you away because you want to be somewhere and they want to give you money.
Yeah.
So I would say if I was Brandon Ayuk, the real culprit would be the Steelers. Like, you're the ones that can get this deal done. Give them what they want so I can get here and get what I want.
Mm-hmm.
and then I'll be a great receiver for you as well. So everybody could be happy. But
and the Steelers just don't seem like the type of organization that goes for that stuff.
They don't seem like the type of organization that would do both. Mm. Clearly, they look like they're – a lot of people didn't believe they would give the money. But it seems like they'll be willing to give the money. But it doesn't seem like they're the type that's going to give the money and the compensation. It'll be either one, I think.
How did the Fitzpatrick stuff go down again? Did they trade and sign?
For Minka?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And did he got like top safety money, didn't he?
I believe so. He's one of the best safeties in the league.
He's one of the ones. He got...
But if you look at Pittsburgh, too, they're not even necessarily in a position where like they need to overpay for Brandon Ayuk. Like, you can look at them this season without it. You can make an argument. They can still be a wild card team and all that.
I mean, you can look at it, them being a wild card team just because they have a Steelers uniform on and Mike Tomlin's the head coach.
Well, yeah, that's basically it. Like
that roster last year was ass. Like, they don't need to necessarily
overplay or overpay for Ayuk.
Well, the other question, though, is...
For their side, I guess I'm saying.
The other question I would ask if I was Pittsburgh or a Pittsburgh fan, below and JC in Pittsburgh.
Good show.
Do I need to be spending that money on Brandon Ayuk when I don't know if Brandon Ayuk gets you where you ultimately want to go alone? That's not a knock on Brandon Ayuk, but you don't have a quarterback.
You don't.
And I didn't watch their game
like
yet.
A definitive quarterback. Yeah. I watched Justin Fields.
I heard it was spotty from both or whoever played. I heard.
I didn't think Justin Fields was.
I haven't watched it. You watched bad. It. Yeah. Well,
I be clear. I only watched Justin Fields. Russell Wilson did not play. I only watched Justin Fields. That's all I watched.
Mm-hmm.
He was fine.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. He was fine.
But it's one of those things where it's like, even in that situation, it doesn't feel like Justin Fields. And to be fair, we hadn't seen Russell Wilson, but it was not like, oh my goodness. This team's ready. Just get Brandon Ayuk here, and now we're on our way to the Super. Like, Brandon Ayuk might be, like, in the situation that they're in the conference they're in, in the division they're in, Brandon Ayuk might be good for a win. Maybe.
If they got Ayuk, I think they could low-key fight for the division.
That's not good enough. You're spending $32 million on him. If I'm spending $32 million... and I'm giving up compensation. This guy needs to make me a Super Bowl contender.
No. That's not the real number. I'm sorry, Jamari. Well, I guess y'all think
Cincinnati absolutely could go to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
With Jamar Chase.
Okay.
they went to the Super Bowl with Jamar Chase. And last year,
I don't think they're going back.
And last year, Burrow got hurt. Yeah, they weren't they cooking before he got hurt?
No.
They never really found their footing last year.
They weren't at all.
If you can get decent quarterback play out of Justin Fields or Russell Wilson, you trade it for it, you could, they could be Super Bowl contenders.
I mean, there's a lot of ifs. I mean, Cleveland's in that conference. Like, I don't even know what Deshaun is doing right now.
He just got cleared for full contact.
Full contact. Okay, I knew he just got cleared for something, but I was like, what? He just got cleared?
I don't like Cleveland at all.
You don't?
They scare me.
Yeah. Oh, got you.
On the flip side.
Every time.
You could say, man, we got to keep up. So if that means we got to pay $32 million for a wide receiver, we got to keep up in this conference, in this division. And that would be the reason for going after Brandon Ayuk if you're Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it could be. I'm more aligned with the fact that you don't know who your quarterback's going to be yet. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Big problem.
We'll come back. We'll talk about more NFL dysfunction, one of Kenny Caraway's favorite subjects. Jerry Jones can't stop talking.
Oh, man.
And then we'll shift back to the Kings when James Hamm joins us at the top of the hour here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. James Hamm set to join us coming up at the top of the hour. Antonio Pierce said that the Raiders will name their starting quarterback after their game on Saturday against the Cowboys.
Mm.
I thought both quarterbacks were solid mm-hmm. this weekend. Yeah, I'm not going to try to get these grand takeaways. AP said by then we'll have enough film. I assume he's talking about both in game and in practice. And they'll be able to make their decision. I don't know if they're making their decision Sunday morning, but AP said before, you know, after that Saturday game, which I'm assuming means well before the final third preseason game, which I'm guessing none of them play. Mm-hmm. We'll know who the starting quarterback is for the Raiders.
Yeah, man, I saw some of their game, and I thought the same thing. I thought they both looked solid. Minshew's always gonna look solid at least.
You're right.
You know what I mean. So the takeaway I have more than anything was Aiden O'Connell looked good. Look cool. Mm-hmm. So
he didn't play as much.
Mm-mm. But you know that's what I would be looking at more than Minshew, because I'm a little more confident in who I think Minshew is and what he brings to the table, which is cool quarterback play. But we'll see what O'Connell's able to do in this next game and see if I think Minshew's has got the lead for number one.
I think so.
But you know, maybe O'Connell can have a super performance and change a lot of people's minds.
If you like, I'll do this. We do this sometimes with the NBA draft and the Kings and so on. If we graded the players, right? If we graded the guys and we had Minshew at, you know, a 8.5, and we'll say AOC's at like a 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
Should you go with Aiden O'Connell in that situation? Like, hey, he's good enough. Like, he's younger than Gardner Minshew. We have one guy who might be the future. Like, he might be our future quarterback. Mm-hmm. We don't know, but he might be. Gardner Minshew, we kind of know what he is, which could work for us this year. But we already know exactly what we is. Do you take the chance on that 1 point grade difference and allow the guy who could develop into your long term quarterback to be your long term quarterback?
In my opinion, you only do that if you feel like AOC has a ceiling of a 9.5 or a 9. If you think his ceiling is where Gardner Minshew is, then you just go with Gardner Minshew, in my opinion. But if you think like, you know, I think Aiden, like, given time and given experience and given more reps, he can be better than Gardner Minshew, then you start that process now and see if you can unlock that potential as soon as possible. But like the way I look at Aiden O'Connell right now, I don't know if he's ever going to be better than Gardner Minshew.
Could Minshew be someone's quarterback, like real quarterback?
Maybe. Maybe.
He'd be lucky if he got to what Jimmy Garoppolo was for the 49ers. I mean, a guy who...
Let's not mention Jimmy's name anymore.
A guy who was able to keep a starting job for a few years, and like Jimmy was decent or whatever, but like we learned, like he just was like, I don't know, like Jimmy was decent and kept a starting job for like 3 years. Maybe Minshew can do that, but
he can't be a
he'll never franchise. Be a starting quarterback. No. Yeah, I'd put money on that.
Franchise that you think you can win a championship with. Right? Because I think he can be a guy. Like, say he was the Raiders quarterback for the next 2 or 3 years. I think they can get to I think they can get to the playoffs for those 2 of those years. I think Minshew can do that with the right talent around him. But you'll never look at the Raiders as, they might be able to go all the way.
Let me look something up. Stand by. Just everybody wait a second while I look something up. All right. So I've got 6 years. No, I'm sorry. I got 5 years and I got 6 years. So 6 years, then 5 years. Ryan Tannehill was the Dolphins quarterback for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Were you guys ever a Super Bowl contender in those 6 years?
No, but they never really built like a decent team around him. Never. Like, once he got to Tennessee, he went instantly to the AFC championship game. Like, they never built the right team around him. But he's 10 times, not 10 times, he's a lot better than Minshew ever was, though. Talent-wise.
In the same breath, though, I mean, they are never... Like, Tennessee went to the AFC championship game. They had a couple good regular seasons, but I don't know if anybody ever thought they were...
Got there, though.
Yeah,
they were there.
They got there.
Like Minshew won't do that.
They got there. I don't want to say on a fluke, but they shouldn't have beat that Baltimore team.
But they did.
They did. Like, you can't. The Hawks got to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, no. It happens, right?
It doesn't count.
It happens from time to time. But much like the Hawks, nobody's looking at those Titans teams. It's like, yo, they're their future.
Well, look back at Philly. Minshew started some games for Philly. It's not like he played with scrubs or anything like that. Like, Philly was good and they were horrible with him.
The killer with Minshew is like his good vibes and everything don't seem to last through a whole season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're like 6 or 7 weeks, and then
he's living off of that 1 year. I feel like that's like his entire existence is. I don't want to shortchange him. I feel like we're really talking about one singular season with Gardner Minshew.
Yeah. Didn't he play well with the Colts last year when he came in? Had him on the brink of a playoff appearance.
Yes.
Like, that's just kind of who he is, right? He's a wild card quarterback.
That 1 year he was 6-6. He had 21-6, and that's what everybody like clamored about, is because it was a Jacksonville Jaguars team. Mm-hmm. He was 6-6. He had 21 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. The next year, they went back to being the Jaguars. He had 16 touchdowns and 5 interceptions, but the team's record was 1-7.
He's like I said, he's a wild card quarterback.
At best, he could be Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Okay. All right.
Ryan Fitzpatrick had a solid year with the Jets and all that stuff, but we're never going to see anything sustained with Gardner Minshew.
This is like a closer. This is like a reliever. Like, it's a very unique skill set. It's a unique talent. Maybe they're not your starting pitcher because you don't want them to go, you know, whatever. You don't want them to go more than a handful of innings. Like, there's a spot for that, a very important spot in Major League Baseball for that. There's a spot in the NFL for a guy who can come in for 2 or 3 weeks and keep your offense moving.
Absolutely.
That's who I feel like Gardner Minshew is. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not the guy you give the keys to the offense. I'm not going to be critical of a decision that Antonio Pierce hasn't made, but I feel like if AP goes with Minshew, they're going to make a change at some point in the season. he's not going to be the starting quarterback for 17 games.
Yeah, but you, like, I think it's the same with AOC. If you start AOC, you're going to switch midseason anyways, too. He's not good. He's not that good.
That's the killer, right? Like, I think Minshew is better than AOC.
Yeah, and I don't even know if AOC will be Minshew.
Man, really?
Yeah, meaning you can go 6-6 in a season or whatever. Like last year was decent, but like I don't. He's got to get to that point.
Well, and then that's the thing that like kind of I was talking about, right? Like if we have those ratings and Minshew's we'll just put him at an 8. And you say AOC's at a 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
Do I ever think that AOC will be at 8.5?
Mm-hmm.
Not right now. I think he could get to 8 and be like Gardner Minshew, but if that's the case, I might as well just go with the guy who's been around and has seen some things.
Because the Raiders, they got a playoff wild card ready roster around the quarterback.
Yeah.
Like they can win. So I figured AOC is going to make more mistakes than Minshew would too. Like I'm not going to cut corners right now if I can make the playoffs, especially being Antonio Pierce.
You should probably ask Devontae what he wants too.
Just, that's facts. Probably well, a good idea.
Devontae just wants to be great. He don't care if he wins.
Well, that's fine. In order for you to be great, you have to have the ball. Who does a better job of getting you the ball?
Not Jimmy. You see, Jimmy said the Rams is a great place that allows him to be him.
Well, we know how he's been stifled everywhere.
What does that even mean?
I hate when people say that. It's so generic.
Like, you're a backup quarterback. What are they letting you do that you couldn't as a starter anywhere else?
The only people who can, like, truly say that are the Belichick-era Patriot people. Because there was, like, a legitimate culture that you just had to live by while you were there. Did anyone follow up and say, Jimmy, what the hell are you talking about?
No, nobody.
You were walking around with porn actresses as the San Francisco 49ers. What about that didn't allow you to be you?
They were barely listening to Jimmy.
They made you the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Like, they let you do everything.
Nobody followed up because they were barely paying attention to Jimmy.
I tell you what, though, that Week 18 game against the Niners is going to be amazing. Whether it's with the backups or what,
it'll be with the backups. I did enjoy Sean McVay's commentary yesterday. I happened to watch a little bit of Dallas and the Rams when that's when it happened. McVay just had the headsets on and was talking, and I thought it was great.
You think we'll see the ESPNs and NBCs try to like do that now during a regular season game?
Oh, there's no chance they'll do that.
Oh, WNBA's trying. And Becky Hammond couldn't be more pissed off.
Okay, thanks. No, that was funny. That Becky Hammond clip is an all-timer. They are trying to do that. It's not going well. And no, I absolutely don't imagine that CBS, Fox, or anyone would try that during a game.
No.
Now they're doing the old NBA gimmick here with I think it's the quarter interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're talking to the coaches.
That's fine.
Sure.
It's
fine.
I hate the coach interviews.
Yeah, I don't. No one wants to. Like,
they're not good. It's the same thing.
It doesn't enhance the broadcast. They want it to be over with.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to do it.
You don't have to. You don't have to, but it doesn't hurt that it's there. I think about the same thing, though. It's like in boxing, they did it over the weekend. They do it every fight, but I saw it again over the weekend. They talk to the head trainer in the middle of the round. While the fighter is getting like pummeled or whatever. Like, so how do you think the fight's going?
Well, my guy's getting punched in the jaw right now, so not the best.
And that is actually annoying. Like, the trainer is trying to coach and tell him what punches to throw, and you got Chris Mannix over there. Like, yeah, what happened on the last? Get away from him.
Yeah, Chris Mannix, yo boy. I apologize, everyone. We got sidetracked talking about the Raiders. Kenny's Jerry Jones impressions. We'll have to wait another day.
Well, they don't necessarily have to wait.
And the good news is Jerry will probably have talked 10 times by the time tomorrow's show starts, so we'll have fresh material for tomorrow's program.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.